Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name is Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Benny Dole's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. Best you can.
Our daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and Wendry.
And I hope you didn't think it's going to be a quiet offseason as it pertains to the University of Memphis men's basketball program, because it got a little loud yesterday. A report that Penny Hardaway has indeed interviewed for the Orlando Magic vacancy and is now considered a serious candidate. In fact, the Orlando Sentinel has labeled Penny Hardaway as a leading candidate. So, is Penny Hardaway going to continue to coach in Memphis or not? We'll see. And we'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20. Chris Hayes going to join me. Covers the Orlando Magic for the Orlando Sentinel. Wanted to get an Orlando perspective on the Penny Hardaway story. So Chris Hayes is going to join me in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I will discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the College World Series Finals begins tonight. It's Vandy versus Mississippi State in Omaha. Congrats to both schools for advancing. But the real story came early Saturday when NC State was removed from the College World Series after a sequence of events that was triggered after four unvaccinated players tested positive for COVID. These players' decision to not get vaccinated literally cost NC State a chance to win a national championship. Rough deal, but sometimes in life you have to pay the consequences for making poor and selfish decisions. And this, by all accounts, was one of those times. We'll spend a few minutes on it. Around 4:44, the Milwaukee Bucks took a 2-1 lead in their best-of-seven series against the Atlanta Hawks last night. Weird game. Atlanta was up big early, ahead most of the game. Then Trae Young steps on a referee. He's got a bad foot now, and the Hawks only scored 17 points in the fourth quarter to lose 113-102. We're going to talk Eastern Conference Finals a little later on this hour. Meantime, Phoenix Suns just one win away from advancing to the NBA Finals. They're up 3-1 on the Clippers heading into tonight's Game 5, so it's a closeout game. Chris Paul in downtown Phoenix. We'll talk about the Western Conference Finals just before 5 o'clock. And congrats to Offset and Cardi B. Hip-hop power couple announced last night they are expecting their second child. Whether the baby will be delivered via C-section or WAP remains undisclosed. But either way, Cardi B pregnant again. We'll talk about it during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cogg is just like always. Then I will eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with the big news of the weekend, specifically that Penny Hardaway has interviewed for the Orlando Magic job. The development was first reported by The Athletic's senior NBA writer, Shams Charania, and he described Penny as a, quote, serious candidate. The Orlando Sentinel has labeled Penny as the, quote, leading candidate. So this is a very real thing that could actually lead to Penny Hardaway leaving the University of Memphis after 3 years as his alma mater's head coach. He was reportedly very impressive during his interview. And he's clearly interested in the job, because if he weren't, he wouldn't waste time in the middle of recruiting, interviewing for a job. Like, multiple NBA franchises wanted to interview Michigan's Juwan Howard in recent weeks, according to Woj. Juwan Howard has, to date, declined all interviews. He said he's the coach at Michigan and will continue to be the coach at Michigan because he's uninterested in a move to the NBA at this point in his career. If Penny felt the same way, he could have, at any point, said the same thing. But he didn't, because he doesn't feel the same way. He is intrigued by the NBA, and he's interested in the Orlando job. And my guess is that if he's offered the Orlando job, he'd probably lean toward taking it. I wouldn't put that at 100% or even 90%, but if the Orlando job is offered and the money is right, I'd put it at 55-45. Penny Hardaway resigns as the head coach at Memphis to become the head coach of the Magic. Would it be hard for him to leave? Yes. Would he have mixed emotions? Definitely. Would he hesitate and possibly decline to pull the trigger? Sure. But if the Orlando job is offered, based on conversations I've had with people in the past 24 hours, I believe Penny would lean toward accepting the offer. Again, to be clear, I'm not insisting he would take it. I don't speak in absolutes about this stuff. All I'm saying is that if the job is offered, he'd probably more likely take it than reject it. So it appears to me, at this point, that there are four main questions people are asking as it pertains to this Penny Hardaway, University of Memphis, Orlando Magic situation. And the questions are as follows. One, why would the Orlando Magic want to hire Penny Hardaway? Two, why would Penny Hardaway want to leave Memphis to coach the Orlando Magic? Three, how should and how will Memphis fans feel if Penny Hardaway leaves after three seasons? And four, what would or should Memphis do if it had to replace Penny Hardaway with a new coach via search conducted in July? So let's take those questions one by one in the order that I presented them.
Okay.
Number one. Why would the Orlando Magic want to hire Penny Hardaway? To me, that's the most interesting question, if only because college coaches with zero NCAA tournament appearances don't usually get these kinds of opportunities. Like, Billy Donovan won two national championships before he was offered an NBA job. Brad Stevens took Butler to consecutive national title games before he was offered an NBA job. So Penny's resume to date doesn't quite match what is usually required for a college coach to be in this situation. But if you want to be smart about this, first thing you got to do is stop thinking of Penny as a college coach, because that's not the way anybody else is thinking of him as it pertains to this. For these purposes, he's not a college coach as much as he's a former NBA star who has been developing young and talented players for many years with Team Penny at East High and currently at the University of Memphis. He has a high basketball IQ, great basketball mind. Super impressive in person. He's an icon within the Orlando Magic organization. He hasn't been coaching at a high level long, but he's coached more than Steve Kerr coach, Steve Nash coach, Chauncey Billups coach, before they got head coaching jobs in the NBA. This is a league where experience is not required for former players with great basketball minds. So what Penny has or hasn't done at Memphis doesn't seem to matter much. All that matters is that he's a former star with a great basketball mind, and that he spent years developing young players. And Orlando's core is a collection of young players, most of whom Penny already has a relationship with. So for those reasons alone, he's a sensible candidate here. Plus, who else are you hiring? It's not a particularly attractive job, the Orlando job, in its current form.
No.
Anybody Orlando hires will be a gamble who will probably lose a lot, at least initially. So frankly, Penny Hardaway, he makes about as much sense for this specific job as anybody else Orlando could probably hire at this moment. And that is why Orlando is interested in maybe hiring Penny Hardaway. Now to question number two. Why would Penny Hardaway leave Memphis for the Orlando Magic? This one is also fairly easy to answer. It's because coaching college basketball is a much more demanding and unpleasant job than coaching in the NBA. Coaching college basketball is constantly recruiting, constantly re-recruiting, forever, texting and calling and pursuing teenagers, most of whom you will never actually coach. You have to deal with boosters, you have to deal with agents, you have to deal with grassroots coaches and high school coaches, and that's just the stuff that's been a part of the job forever. Now you also have to deal with name, image, and likeness. Now you have to deal with the reality of possibly losing a big portion of your team to the transfer portal annually, which means you never really know who you're going to have on your roster from one year to the next. These days, you can recruit a player, be the leader to land that player, and then lose him to the G League Ignite, Overtime Elite, Australia, China, Italy, anywhere. Understand, Billy Donovan could basically have any open college job every single year. He'd rather coach a bad Bulls team than deal with all this stuff I'm talking about. Understand, Brad Stevens was offered $70 million to coach Indiana a few months back. He'd rather work in an NBA front office than deal with all this stuff I'm talking about. So why would Penny Hardaway maybe want to leave Memphis for Orlando? I just gave you a whole bunch of reasons. And that doesn't even include the fact that, at least initially, his administration wouldn't let him hire the staff he wanted to hire. Plus, there's a pending IARP case that could bomb his program any day now. Plus, he doesn't know who his president will be a year from now. Plus, if he's offered this job, he may never be offered a job like this again. Penny really might be passing up a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity if he passes up an offer from Orlando, where his only job as an NBA head coach would be to develop and coach basketball players. I cannot overstate the lifestyle differences that are immensely attractive to most coaches. You have free time in the NBA. In college, you don't. So is it harder to win in Orlando than it is at Memphis? Definitely. But it's a much easier life. And if your real passion, and there's some evidence that this is Penny's real passion, considering he spends part of his very little free time training R.J. Hampton in advance of a draft, training Quentin Grimes in advance of a draft. If your real passion is simply developing and coaching basketball players, the NBA is a preferable place to work. So I completely understand why Penny might, I can't overemphasize the word might be willing to leave Memphis for the Orlando Magic. Now to question number three. And this is one Jeff Calkins posed. How should Memphis fans feel about Penny Hardaway possibly leaving after three seasons? And my answer to that question is, who cares? Who cares? If I'm Penny Hardaway, that is literally the last thing on my mind because it doesn't really matter. Here's the truth. Reasonable Memphis fans will mostly understand his decision, wish him well, and thank him for the time he put in. And then some unreasonable fans will do the opposite. But only a fool would spend a second worrying about those people when it comes to making this type of professional choice. You know which Memphis fans will hate Penny Hardaway for leaving after 3 years? I've seen some of it on Twitter. If he leaves, I'll turn on him. If he leaves, I'll never respect him again. Let me tell you which Memphis fans will hate Penny Hardaway if he leaves after 3 years. The exact same Memphis fans who spent the early part of last season saying he can't coach and that he should be fired. It's the same people. It's mostly the same people, I promise you. And why would you spend a second caring about what those people think or how they feel if you're Penny Hardaway? Like I learned a little while ago, make a list of people in your life whom you respect and who matter and worry about what they think and how they feel. Then mentally mute everybody else. I don't spend 2 seconds concerning myself with what people who don't matter to me or people for which I have no respect. I don't spend 2 seconds thinking about what they think about what I write, say, or do. And I suspect Penny Hardaway is smart enough to do the same. No reasonable person could be upset at the Memphis basketball coach for taking the opportunity to become an NBA head coach. And no, because I know somebody's going to ask, I don't care that there's a pending IARP case for which he's responsible, because honestly, he's not solely responsible for it. This is something I've heard some people say. Well, how could Penny go and get the program in trouble and then bounce? Well, first off, coaches do it all the time. But secondly, this is something people still get mixed up. Even media members still get this mixed up all the time. The pending IARP case is not, it gets labeled this way, but it's not tied to the fact that Penny Hardaway paid James Wiseman's mother to move to Memphis while he was the head coach at Eat High. That's not what this is about. That's not what triggered this. That issue could have been resolved a year and a half ago. All Memphis had to do was sit James Wiseman down for a certain number of games, probably nine, and that entire deal would have been in the past. Instead, the Memphis administration incredibly allowed James Wiseman to play in defiance of the NCAA, which triggered a formal investigation of the program. A stronger administration, basically every administration except the Memphis administration, would have never let James Wiseman on the floor under those circumstances. I said this back then over and over and over again. I remember talking to other coaches at other schools at the time and asking, would your administration have let you play a player under these circumstances? Literally every coach said no. Kansas has stopped Bill Self from playing players under similar circumstances multiple times. Josh Selby, Cliff Alexander, Billy Preston, multiple times. And Kansas will let Bill Self do basically anything, but not that. KU's administration has always known you can't play players in defiance of the NCAA. It is impossible to overstate how irresponsible that was at the administrative level. So I agree, it wouldn't be ideal for Memphis to have to hire a coach with an NCAA case hanging over the program. But the Memphis administration put itself in this situation by allowing James Wiseman to play in defiance of the NCAA. So if you have a problem with that, take it up with him. That's not something that should compel Penny to stay at Memphis if he doesn't want to stay at Memphis. Coaches leave programs with pending NCAA issues all the time. John Calipari's done it twice. So Penny Hardaway wouldn't be the first, and I guarantee you he would not be the last. And if some portion of Memphians actually turned on him for leaving under these circumstances, they're the same Memphians who have probably already turned on him when he lost two games in South Dakota last season. Who cares? So then we get to question number four. Who should Memphis hire if Penny actually leaves? And on this, honestly, I think most of the names you've probably already heard are right. I don't have any real unique insight here. Damon Stoudemire, Mike Miller, that's a good place to start. I think if you wanted to hire either one of them, you don't need a third candidate. I think you could probably hire either. I know you could hire one of them. So if that's where your list starts, you don't need to go any deeper than that list. If you want to start your list with Mike Miller, Damon Stoudemire, you can just stop there, because one of them will take the job. I promise you. I'm not guessing on that. I know it. If you didn't want to start a list with those two names, then Andy Kennedy is at UAB. I don't think the UAB coach would turn down the Memphis job. Steve Forbes has always been an interesting possible candidate for any Memphis opening. There was a time where you could have got him no problem. I don't know that you could get him to leave Wake Forest, but it's way easier to win at Memphis in the American than it is at Wake Forest in the ACC. And so perhaps that's something you could pursue if you wanted to. Archie Miller is unemployed. 3 years ago, he was considered one of the best young rising coaches in America. Sean Miller's unemployed. I don't think I'd touch him because of pending NCAA issues, but Archie Miller might make some sense, though I'm not sure he'd take it. Remember, he's still getting paid from Indiana, and any new job offsets his pay, so he might be happy to just sit it out for a year or two. Either way, here's the truth. I don't want Penny Hardaway to leave unless, like, he wants to leave. Like, I'm not looking at this as an opportunity for Memphis to change coaches. I would prefer Penny Hardaway remain the head coach of my alma mater, of the University of Memphis. But if he does leave, I'll do nothing but wish him well, root like crazy for him to succeed. And I don't think it's actually that devastating for the Memphis program. I think Damon Stoudemire would be good here. I think Mike Miller could be good here. I think you could hire a really good replacement who could take this program back to where the program ought to be. And at one point annually was. Perhaps not to the John Calipari level, but to where it was outside of every era other than the John Calipari era. And perhaps there. I wouldn't put a ceiling on anything. So I know these are nervous times for Memphis fans, and they should be. I get that. But I'll never be the guy to get mad or criticize another person for making a career choice. I know that not all media members hold themselves to that standard, but I do. What should Penny Hardaway do? He should do whatever he wants to do. And if he decides to stay at the University of Memphis, boy, that'll be awesome. And if he decides, if the job is offered, to be the next head coach of the Orlando Magic, then I will wish him well, thank him for the 3 years he spent running that program, root like crazy for him, and then hope that Memphis hires a replacement who can build off of what Penny has put into place and then take it to a place that Penny, when he took the job, thought he was going to take it. Chris Hayes covers the Orlando Magic for the Orlando Sentinel, so he's operating this story from that side of this development. I'll pick his brain on what he knows next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you. Push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really
NC State's baseball team was removed from the College World Series this weekend because of a sequence of events that was triggered by four unvaccinated players testing positive for COVID. I couldn't wait to talk about this story come Monday. I wish I had a show on Saturday I could have done. We'll get into it in the next segment. Jeff Cargill will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he covers the Orlando Magic for the Orlando Sentinel. It's Chris Hayes. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
So, Chris, over the weekend, Penny Hardaway was reportedly listed as a, quote, serious candidate with the Orlando Magic. Do you have a sense for how serious this situation is?
First of all, I'm not really sure I deserved that intro. That was pretty impressive.
You do deserve it. You're Chris Hayes from the Orlando Sentinel.
Now, you know, I'm not really sure what to think about the whole Penny Hardaway with the Magic situation. Is he a legitimate top candidate? It's hard for me to think that he is, given that he's only been a head coach in, well, high school level and then college at this point, but it seems quick to jump to that level already, although his ability to communicate with younger players is obviously there. And so if that's what they're looking for, then they've got a guy in Penny who's going to be a big-time favorite around here, and he's got a lot of backing, that's for sure.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because I'm here, you're there. I don't have a great sense for how Orlando Magic fans feel about the possibility of Penny Hardaway being the next head coach of the Orlando Magic. So educate me. Do you get the sense that Magic fans are in favor of this? That if they announced Penny Hardaway as the next coach and they held a press conference, that the fan base would be excited about this happening in this moment?
Yeah, there's a lot of people backing Penny right now for and trying to get the Magic, you know, on the bandwagon to maybe lean in that direction. I was actually kind of surprised by it. Quite honestly, Penny was a little bit at odds with the team and the community as he kind of dwindled into the next phase of his NBA career. But, you know, they hate Shaq more than they hate Penny around here, so it's kind of weird.
Well, let me ask you this. A few years ago, the Final Four was in Minneapolis, and I work with Wally Szczerbiak, who was an all-star with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, Penny was a better NBA player than Wally ever was, but Wally was a all-star in Minneapolis. And when we were walking around, you know, Minneapolis that week, and I was with Wally Szczerbiak, it was like I was with Paul McCartney and John Lennon. It was incredible to see. And so people in Minneapolis still held on tightly to their memories of Wally Szczerbiak at his best. Is Penny that type of popular figure in Orlando in June 2021? Like, if Penny were walking around Orlando, would he be as celebrated, you know, the way former players are often celebrated when they return to a certain city in which they play?
Yeah, it's hard to say with Orlando because it's such a transient type of a community where not a lot of people are from here. The ones who are from here would probably certainly recognize Penny walking around, but how many of those people would actually recognize him? I don't know. Because it's such a strange community, and I think that's what a lot of athletes enjoy about living here. They can just wander around town in basically anonymity because nobody knows who they are. And that's maybe the big drawing card for some of these people who live here.
Talking to Chris Hayes from the Orlando Sentinel. He's on Twitter at @OS_ChrisHayes. How good of a job is this right now? Obviously, there's some interesting young pieces, R.J. Hampton, Cole Anthony, but in the NBA, it is super hard to win with young pieces, regardless of how interesting they are. Is there any coach that could come in and from a win-loss perspective, obviously from a development perspective, that's another conversation, but from a win-loss perspective, is there anybody that could come in and coach this team and hope to be reasonably successful within the next 2 years, even?
Yeah, I think there's certainly a kind of a patch there where they're going to have to grow together. But sure, there's somebody out there that could come in. They got the 5, the 8, and the number 33 draft picks this year. So there's, if done right, some talent to secure within the draft. They could also make some moves and get a veteran player if they wanted to go that direction. But I think guys like Doc Rivers, he's been here before, but he seems to be a kind of guy who could meld all of that together and maybe do something with it. But it would take a special talent, I think, as a head coach to do so. And after a couple of years, it's going to be an expectation of winning. And you can't just float for as long as the Magic have floated.
Yeah, there's no question. I'm wrapping up here with Chris Hayes from the Orlando Sentinel. Last thing before I let you go, is there a time frame that Orlando is operating with? Obviously, you know, at the NBA level, it is never as urgent to get a new coach in place as it is at the collegiate level, because recruiting isn't really a thing. But still, you theoretically, you'd like to get it done sooner rather than later. When do you expect Orlando to hire a coach, whether it's Penny Hardaway or anybody else?
I think they need to do so within the next couple of weeks. They won't give a timetable. They don't want to be pressed into that. They won't even discuss any candidates' possibilities or if they've been here in town to interview. So I'm just going by hearsay that Penny was actually here for an interview. The timetable needs to be quick, like you said, sooner than better, sooner than later. And the sooner the better, obviously, because the draft's coming up and there's going to have to be a coach who is at least, you know, having his brain picked by the front office about the draft.
That is Chris Hayes from the Orlando Sentinel. Make sure you're reading him at the Orlando Sentinel. That's OrlandoSentinel.com. Follow him on Twitter at @OS_Chris Hayes. Chris, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much, buddy.
Good talking to you, Gary.
All right, take care. That's Chris Hayes from the Orlando Sentinel. Listen, I completely understand why Penny Hardaway, as I noted in the opening segment, would be interested in this job. But if somebody said, okay, Gary, now explain why he shouldn't take it. Like, even if Penny wouldn't, I'm not trying to put myself in a place where I don't belong. But like, if Penny were to say, talk me out of this, tell me why I shouldn't do this. I'm thinking about doing it. Job's been offered. I'm thinking about doing it. Tell me why I should. The truth is somewhere in there in what Chris just explained, which is you can't just be bad forever. Everybody knows you're going to be bad initially. Nobody expects anything from you next season. And they can tell you, we understand this is going to be a process. We understand we're young. We've got Cole Anthony. We've got R.J. Hampton. We've got Jonathan Isaac. We've got 5 and 8 in this draft. We're going to load up on young lottery talents. But we know it's going to be a while. Everybody can say that at the outset. But when you go 20-62 in year one, and then you win 25 games in year two, and you win 29 games in year three, or 36 games in year, you're fired. That's the way the NBA works. It's a little bit like in college athletics. Somebody takes over a situation and everybody understands, hey, this is gonna be a process. We're starting from nothing. And we're gonna have to build this thing. Everybody understands it when you're discussing it. Everybody nods along. Yeah, that's right. Then you get in the middle of it, and people just get tired of losing. Somebody doesn't develop the way they want to develop. And then somebody's got to pay a price for that. And it is usually the head coach, especially in the NBA. Head coaches get fired in the NBA after 1 year. That doesn't happen in college, unless there's scandal or something like that. Head coaches get fired after one season. Just happened in New Orleans. Just happened in Indiana. So if you were trying to come up with reasons like, you know, pros and cons, here's the pros of taking an NBA job, here's the cons, that's the con. Yo, man, it is a great opportunity in theory, but you ain't winning there next year. And you probably ain't winning there the next year. This isn't some franchise that's going to be working the free agents market to bring in veterans to try to make you better. They just moved those guys at the trade deadline. They are actually starting over. And unless you have a front office who believes in you and just decides, we don't care about anything from a win-loss perspective, this guy's going to be our coach for the next 5 years. We don't care how many games he wins. Like, actually, we're not just saying it. We actually don't care. In 3 years, you'll ask me, so what's Penny Hardaway's record? And I'll go, I don't know. We don't care about that. We're strictly focused on development and growing. Unless you got a front office that believes in you that way and that you believe is sincere, you're walking into a place where you will probably be the coach before the next coach who has a chance to be successful. And so it is true, if the Orlando job is offered and you reject it, you would possibly be turning down a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be a head coach of the NBA franchise for which you once starred. The flip side of that is you would also be probably walking away, if you took the job, from a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to maybe take your alma mater to the NCAA tournament, to the Sweet 16, to the Final Four, and who knows? Maybe all the way to the national championship. So this is hard. If you're Penny Hardaway and you are actually presented with this opportunity, like the offer is made and now you got a decision made, what an awesome situation to be in. A dream on some level. On another level, absolute nightmare. Because, boy, it can be painful sometimes to try to make hard decisions, even when both options are awesome. Like, you think on a very surface level, boy, I'd love to have these options on the table if I were him. And you would. You would. It's great to have great options, regardless of your career, as a basketball coach or a columnist or radio host, or television person, whatever. You always want to have great options. That's usually how you end up making more money. Having great options requires you to make hard decisions. I mean, really hard decisions. And if this Orlando job is actually offered to Penny, anybody telling you it's a no-brainer either way is lying to you. There is Brad Stevens being offered the Boston Celtics job with Danny Ainge as his president, that's a no-brainer when you're the head coach at Butler. John Calipari being offered the Nets job when you're the head coach at UMass and you're still, like, in your 30s? That's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a no-brainer. This is tough.
That's exactly where I'm at.
This is tough.
Yes.
You wouldn't feel... I don't think you'd feel great about either decision you make. If you go, you really stress about what you left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stay, you really stress about what you might have passed.
Was this my only chance?
It's tough, man.
Yeah.
It's a great situation to be in. Everybody should be so lucky. But don't think for a second it is not also agonizing. And so if Penny is put in a situation where he's got to choose between those two very real things, the good news is that there's no bad option, I don't think. You're either an NBA head coach or you remain the head coach of your alma mater. That's like, you know, not a bad option,
mm-hmm.
But it is an agonizing decision to make. I'll talk more about it with Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock when we come back. NC State was removed from the College World Series over the weekend because of unvaccinated players testing positive, which triggered a sequence of events that led to NC State being removed from the tournament. Please don't ever forget that fact. We'll talk about it next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today.
Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer.
July 4th coming up this weekend. You're going to need fireworks. You're going to get them at Boom City Fireworks. They got two locations in the Memphis area. One is at 3rd Street South. The other is Get Well at State Line Row. That's the one I've been going to for years and years and years, and it's awesome for a variety of reasons. A, it's indoors. Have you been outside lately? My God. You don't have to shop outside at Boom City Fireworks. Everything is indoors. Park your car. You got to walk inside. I mean, you can't park inside. You got to walk inside. You'll be outside for a minute, but then you'll get inside, air-conditioned, comfortable. Now you're shopping for fireworks. And they got the largest selection of fireworks in the Mid-South. So whatever you're looking for, they're going to have a lot of it. I know in years past, you might have been somebody who drove to Arkansas to get your fireworks and, like, whatever. But our bridge is broken, so that's not a great idea now either. Stay away from the bridge. Boom City Fireworks, you ain't got to get anywhere close to that bridge. You don't have to cross the bridge. Again, two locations in the Memphis area. One is at 3rd Street South. The other is at Get Well and State Line Road. Go check out the Facebook page. Just go to Facebook.com, get in the search engine, type in Boom City Fireworks. That's where you're getting everything in advance of July 4th. Jeff Calkins is going to join me at 5 o'clock. He just posted a new Penny Hardaway column at DailyMemphian.com. I'll talk to him about it, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
The College World Series Finals will start tonight in Omaha. Best of three series between two SEC schools, Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. I wish them both luck. May the better SEC baseball program win. The big story has nothing to do with either one of them. It was NC State being removed from the College World Series over the weekend. And I swear to you, I never seen so many people enthusiastically commenting on this story while having no idea what they were talking about the entire time they're commenting on the story. Go look at my mentions from Saturday and even Sunday, filled with people who are so certain they understand what they're talking about and they actually have no idea what they're talking about. The way this thing unfolded is exactly what I told you on Friday, exactly what I tweeted on Saturday. People still wanted to argue. But the reason NC State had to play shorthanded on Friday and then was removed from the College World Series early Saturday, follow me here. What I'm about to tell you is a fact. The reason NC State was shorthanded Friday and removed from the College World Series on Saturday was because they took unvaccinated players to Omaha. Four of those players tested positive. It triggered a sequence of events and further testing that then eliminated them from the College World Series. It was all triggered by unvaccinated players. It is true that ultimately, by the time NC State was removed from the College World Series, that eight different players tested positive for COVID. Four unvaccinated, four vaccinated. But the four vaccinated players, this is the part some people couldn't grasp, even though it's not hard to grasp. The four vaccinated players would have never been tested if not for the unvaccinated players triggering the testing. NC State would have never been as shorthanded as it was on Friday's game against Vanderbilt if not for contact tracing of unvaccinated players. Do you know how it went down? They had two players, both unvaccinated, test positive. That's when health officials in Omaha contact traced all the other unvaccinated players in NC State's program. So when they played on Friday, they had 13 players. All 13 were vaccinated players. The unvaccinated players got contact traced into isolation and further testing. Then two more unvaccinated players tested positive. Once they had four unvaccinated players testing positive, that triggered quote, outbreak status. So then local health officials said, you got to test the whole team now, vaccinated and unvaccinated. That's when four vaccinated players tested positive. And at least 50,000 people had to tweet me. Oh, GP, so what do you think about that? The vaccinated players testing positive. I don't think anything about it. What are you suggesting? Nobody has ever said vaccinated people can't get the virus. Nobody's ever said that. I am vaccinated. I know I can still get the virus. The vaccine makes it less likely that you'll get the virus, but here's the key. Way, 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 way less likely that you'll get real sick. That's the key. Almost everybody that's in the hospital right now with COVID, unvaccinated. Almost everybody that's dying from COVID these days, unvaccinated. So nobody's ever said four vaccinated players or four vaccinated people can't get the virus. Of course they can. They just won't get sick because of the vaccine, or at least almost certainly will not get sick because of the vaccine. So this entire thing could have been prevented easily and at no cost. Go get your free shots. If NC State's entire team would have been vaccinated, nobody would have ever been tested. The whole team could have been positive. They would have never been tested. Would not have mattered. But because they took unvaccinated players to Omaha, those unvaccinated players had to be tested. And then two of them popped positive. So then they contact trace all the other unvaccinated players. And then two more popped positive. And now you got four positive. So the health officials say, we got to test everybody now. Then they test all the vaccinated players. Four more test positive. Now you're out of the College World Series. They did this to themselves. They did this to themselves. I don't care what you think of the protocols. There are some people who have made some good points. Do you realize the NC State players, the entire baseball team, could buy tickets tonight and go to the College World Series and sit in the stands? They can't play on the field? I hear you. I hear you. It seems a little wild to me. But complaining about that is like driving in a 35-mile-per-hour speed zone, having somebody tell you, you know the speed limit's 35, and you say, yeah, sure, I'm cool. And then you go on 55, and then you get pulled over. Now you're complaining about 35. You knew what the speed limit was. It's on you. They knew what the protocols were before they ever stepped foot in Omaha. If you're not vaccinated, this is what you're going to have to go through, testing and contact tracing. Oh, okay, well, we're going to go unvaccinated anyway. Okay, well, then you get what you get. You get what you get. Sometimes in life, you got to learn hard lessons because you make dumb and selfish decisions. NC State players, that's what they spent this weekend doing. Taking a hard lesson because they made dumb and selfish decisions. And somebody has asked me on Twitter, well, do you feel sorry for them at all? In one way. I feel sorry for them in one way. I feel sorry for them that they didn't have a coach who was enough of a leader to explain to them the consequences. Possible consequences of taking unvaccinated players to Omaha. I know their coach said, well, I didn't want to indoctrinate my players, but shut up. This isn't about indoctrinating anybody. It's about being a leader, about being smart. You sit down with your players, and here's what you say. Guys, I know that some of us in this locker room have different opinions on COVID, have different opinions on the vaccine. And I do understand that you're all young and healthy, and even if you do get this virus, you'll probably be okay. But the point of getting the vaccine is to diminish the possibility of this virus spreading throughout our country, throughout our state, throughout our city, throughout our campus. But more to the point for us specifically, it's so that we don't have our season in Omaha, because let me tell you how this is going to work. And guys, just hear me out. Because I think we're good enough to go to Omaha. I think we're good enough to win a national championship. So let me tell you how this is going to go. Right now, about half our team is unvaccinated. And guys, I'm just telling you, the second you get off a plane in Omaha, they're going to test you. Every unvaccinated player. The vaccinated players are not going to get tested. You just go straight to your room. But the unvaccinated players are going to get tested. And you're going to be tested again 2 days later. And tested again 2 days later. The whole time we're there. And if one of you pops positive, they're going to contact trace the rest of you, and you're all going to have to be quarantined and retested, but you're not going to be able to play. So imagine a scenario where we get there, everybody's feeling good, but they're doing a round of test, and we get through the first one, but then the second round of test, one of you pops positive. You don't know how, you don't know why, you don't even feel bad, but you did. Well, you've just knocked out every other unvaccinated player we got. So now we're down to 13 players. And they're going to retest everybody again. And then they might test our vaccinated players. And then if some of them test positive, because you can still do it with the vaccine, now we can't play anymore. Do you realize we could be 3 wins from a national championship and have our entire season blown up because unvaccinated players tested positive? Or we could all get vaccinated and know that when we get there, we don't have to get tested at all. We just get to focus on baseball. So I can't tell you what to do, and I can't make you do anything. But here's what I'm doing. I'm going tomorrow to get my first shot. I'm leaving this facility at noon. And anybody who wants to join me is welcome to do it. If you're a good enough leader, you can get people to follow you. I promise you, there is no scenario where Nick Saban's football team going to get blown out of the college football playoff because of unvaccinated players tested positive and contact tracing. He'll have this thing handled by the time that day comes. He won't make anybody do anything, but he'll be convincing enough to get people to do the smart and responsible thing. This NC State baseball coach, he couldn't do it. And I bet you that's a regret he and some of his players going to have to live with forever.
Story number 2.
Game 3, Eastern Conference Finals. Last night, Milwaukee wins at 113-102. What a weird game. They go up 1,000,000 points.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta does on Milwaukee. And if not 1,000,000, 15.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically ahead the whole game.
Yep.
And then Trae Young steps on a referee?
Oh, yeah.
Now he's got to go to the back. When he comes back, he's never quite right. Atlanta scores only 17 points in the fourth quarter, and they lose 113-102. Don't cover the +5. Just, I love the Atlanta story. I know you don't. But I love the Atlanta story, and I hate to watch them lose a game at home that they controlled for the most part, largely because their best player, that little superstar Trae Young,
mm-hmm.
messed up his foot a little bit. And he does. MRI came back today. He's got a bone bruise in his foot. He's listed as questionable for game 4
tomorrow. I bet he plays.
This could be the turning point in the season, Big Ben Bennett.
I think it probably is the turning point. Now, of course, we got to mention Friday because I've sat in this very chair on Friday and said that this thing's coming to an end soon.
They whipped him on Friday.
They whipped him good.
They whipped him real good
Milwaukee
on Friday.
Milwaukee -8 was a nice play on Friday.
What did I tell you on Friday? I said, listen, I'll probably just take the 8 because I want to watch a competitive game.
Uh-huh.
And boy, I regretted that pretty quickly.
Yeah. No, I mean, in all seriousness, that sucks that that happened because it was – I mean, they were rolling.
They were about to take a 2-1 lead on Milwaukee, and then Trae Young hurts his foot. And now they're down 2-1, and who knows where it goes from here.
I do think that Milwaukee has figured it out. He wasn't good in the game prior to last night, but Middleton, them rolling with him late in games is benefiting them because you don't put that pressure on Giannis at the free throw line. Like, you say, okay, and Giannis is cool with it. Like, this is our go-to guy for scoring situations late in these games, and we got to go with that. Even though Giannis is our best player, Middleton's going to be our go-to guy late because we can trust him at the line. We know he can hit a jump shot.
Yeah, like even Giannis said, if Chris wants the ball late, he's going to get.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.